Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, a potential delay to the introduction of a VAT rate cut for the hospitality sector is being played down by the Enterprise Minister. A GoFundMe page has been established to help a local fisherman get back on his feet after his boat sank off Glengad yesterday. The number of new home completions rose significantly in the second quarter of this year. Donegal County Council is urged to declare a housing emergency. A local councillor says reform is needed to build an all-island national health and care service, and there is widespread condemnation of the shooting of a young seal in Greencastle Harbour. Later in the bulletin, we have sports news with Mark. That's coming up at around 5:15. And because it's a Thursday, we'll have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. That follows the sport. All that to follow, but we begin with confirmation from the PSNI today of the names of the victims of yesterday's shooting in County Fermanagh. They were 45-year-old Vanessa White, a native of Clare, a veterinary surgeon, and her children, Sarah Rutledge, who was 13, and James Rutledge, who was 14. They were shot at a house in Maguire's Bridge yesterday morning. A man remains in hospital for treatment for serious injuries. Investigations into the triple murder and attempted suicide are continuing. Police say they're particularly keen to hear from anyone who had spoken to Vanessa, Sarah or James over the past number of weeks. They've also reconfirmed that they're not looking for anybody else in connection with this incident at the moment. A potential delay to the introduction of a VAT rate cut for the hospitality sector is being played down by the Enterprise Minister. Peter Burke says he doesn't acknowledge reports that the Finance Minister, Pascal Donoghue, is considering pushing back the measure until July of next year. Political correspondent Sean Defoe has been looking at the conflicting reports.
The tax strategy papers give costings for many of the measures the government might want to take next year. The promised VAT rate cut for the hospitality sector is forecast in the papers to cost in the region of 900 million euro. The papers say that overnight accommodation could be split out from that, saving 135 million by not giving hotels the tax cut. But that would be complex, meaning that hotels would be paying different VAT rates in their restaurants versus for their rooms. Government is considering delaying that cut to July 2026 to save money, but Enterprise Minister Peter Burke is not conceding in that fight.
Chiefly, hospitality is going to get a reduction in VAT. It's very important to support the jobs that are there in very regional locations.
Elsewhere, the cost of changes to the tax system to take account of wage growth would cost more than €1 billion. That's just to ensure that people who've been given a 4% wage increase this year don't pay more tax, while keeping the VAT rate cut on energy bills would cost almost €200 million. Those three measures alone come to a cost of about €2 billion, and given the government only has €1.5 billion to spend on tax cuts, something will have to give.
The European Central Bank, meanwhile, is leaving interest rates unchanged. It says the medium-term inflation rate target of 2% has been met and it wants to maintain that. The bank's also concerned about trade disputes impacting Eurozone economies. ECB President Christine Lagarde says there are still inflation risks.
A boost in defence and infrastructure spending could also raise inflation over the medium term. Extreme weather events and the unfolding of climate crisis more broadly could drive up food prices by more than expected.
A GoFundMe page has been established to help a local fisherman get back on his feet after his boat sank off Glengad yesterday morning. Daniel Collins and two other crew members were on board when the boat began to sink. They managed to get themselves onto a life raft. They were recovered from that life raft by a nearby fishing boat. Well, Marty Brides says the financial loss Daniel has suffered is immense.
It's just devastating what happened yesterday morning. Thank God, like, with all the crews that helped, the local fishermen and everyone, like, quickly the boys were taken off the boat and they were brought back to safety. But unfortunately for Daniel, the boat has sank, like, and that would have been his mean of income and everything. And it's just devastating that something happened so quickly. I set up that GoFundMe page yesterday. Any sort of help at all that'll help him get the boat back so we can go back fishing. Like, money-wise, it's a massive loss, especially to lose a boat. Not alone just the boat, all the gear, everything. Everything's gone.
The number of new home completions rose significantly in the second quarter of the year. They were up 35% on the same period in 2024. Six of the country's eight regions saw a rise in completions in that time, according to the CSO. In Donegal, completions jumped 13% compared to the same period the previous year. 154 homes were completed in the county, with the Glenties area accounting for the largest proportion of completions. The CEO of the Institute of Professional Auctioneers and Valuers, Pat Davitt, says stronger figures could be in the pipeline for the rest of the year.
If you just multiply these by obviously the four, you're looking at 36,000 houses possibly, and maybe even more, because I would be expecting the last quarter to be even better than these.
Donegal County Council is being urged, meanwhile, to declare a housing emergency. Councillor Dennis McGee made the call given the low availability of housing in Donegal and the defective block crisis that is estimated to affect up to 30,000 homes. The council has agreed to seek a formal delegation to meet with the housing minister to raise the issues directly with him. Well, Councillor McGee says Donegal County Council needs to do what is required given the urgency of the crisis in the county.
I think we've reached now a breaking point in this situation. Calling it anything less than an emergency right now is just a pure denial of what we're living and the reality in this county. I'm happy that the council have agreed to put together a delegation to go and meet the housing minister, and that we are asking for a special status for this county. We're unique in this county, just tied on to the rest of the 25 counties by one bridge.
Meanwhile, Donegal County Council is being urged to write to the Department of Housing to express concern over the exclusion of Donegal from a number of key national affordable housing schemes included in the government's Housing for All plan. Councillor Declan Meehan is looking for an urgent review of the eligibility criteria for the affordable purchase scheme and cost rental scheme to ensure that both are rolled out in Donegal. The council says it anticipates the forthcoming new national housing plan will introduce affordable housing delivery targets for all local authorities, and that they believe will ensure the county's inclusion in the affordable purchase scheme. A major survey took place in Donegal last year to gauge interest in and capacity for the scheme in the county. Well, Councillor Meehan says the increase in the cost of renting or buying a home in Donegal cannot be sustained when supports aren't being made available.
The average cost of rent now in Donegal is just over €1,200, and that's up 90% over the past 5 years. So people who are renting in Donegal now have little choice but to pay double what they were paying pre-COVID. And also for purchasing a house now is 63% more expensive than it was pre-COVID. It shouldn't be that we have the whole of the Midlands and the Western Seaboard currently being locked out of affordable housing schemes and cost rental initiatives.
A Donegal councillor believes reform is required to build an all-island national health and care service. Councillor Albert Doherty says cross-border care collaborations already in existence could be built upon to address shared challenges that are experienced within the health sectors on both sides of the border. Donegal County Council has agreed to write to the Taoiseach, Tánaiste, Deputy and First and Deputy First Ministers and both Health Ministers to urge them to take the necessary steps to enhance cooperation between the two health services, North and South. Councillor Doherty says it's vital that all people across the island of Ireland have equal access to healthcare.
I know that there's great cooperation presently, and the motion would be to encourage to enhance the services that are shared already. However, I believe that nationally, and with the executive's consent and the consent of the Irish government, we should be looking at an all-island service and ensure that there's a level playing field for all of those people seeking access to health services in the island.
And particularly for people here in Donegal, there's a huge gap in the relation to services, and we've seen so many discussions relating to the surgical hub, so this would be vital.
Very much so. I read into the minutes an item I received yesterday from the Glenfinn Area Council. That could have been from any group, community group, from Malinhead, Kildare, Carndonagh, whatever, outlining the travel arrangements that have to be made when there's any special health services required by people here in the Northwest. And we mentioned the hub particularly because there were six locations agreed for the hub by the present government. Cork one area, Dublin was to give two sites, Galway, Limerick and Waterford. And then they added that they would explore the provision of an additional surgical hub for the Northwest. I think the time for exploring is long gone past. We, in the Letterkenny, the stats are there, and to encourage people to come to work in Letterkenny, that has to be the location of an extra surgical hub.
Councillor Albert Doherty. There's been widespread condemnation of the shooting of a young seal in Greencastle Harbour. The seal, named Zig by locals, was rescued by local skipper Liam O'Brien in December and had become an attraction in the harbour. Local environmental campaigner Enda Craig helped Liam O'Brien with the rescue at that time.
Liam noticed him and he contacted me because I do a bit of photography, and there was a netting around the seal and he was very thin on it. It looked as if he hadn't eaten for a long time. And Liam, being a fisherman, knew that he would not last that long. He eventually was able to get the netting off him. And the little seal took a great shine to Liam. He was eating herring and different kinds of fish out of Liam's hand. And it became a massive attraction. People came from far and wide. Videos were taken and sent to America, Australia. And, I mean, it went viral, really. When Liam wasn't there, other fishermen took over and fed while he was away. It's left a cloud hanging over Greencastle Harbour.
It would appear from what you're saying that all the local fishermen had a good relationship with this seal. I mean, it seems highly unlikely that one of those would have done this.
Absolutely. I cannot imagine any of the fishermen. There was such a pleasant feeling about the whole thing. It was a fabulous thing for all the right reasons. And the curse of the devil on the guy who shot him, that there was no need for it. An innocent seal doing no harm to anybody. And he's up and gone.
And that was Enda Craig. Fannad's last post office is to close. The Tyrconnell Tribune reports today Ballylar post office will close in October because its postmistress believes it's no longer viable. The facility's been run by the McIlwain family since 1873, but the paper says recent decisions by An Post have reinforced their decision to step away. It's understood An Post will advertise a new contract for Fannad. There's new concerns over parking at Donegal beaches, piers and harbours. Last night, a local link bus was delayed for over an hour and a half after cars were abandoned along the bridge leading to Shrove Beach in Greencastle. Councillor Martin Farran says a joint approach is needed by Gardaí and Donegal County Council, and most importantly, double yellow lines need to be placed on that road.
First of all, they have to be in the double yellow lines, and the Gardaí and the road section of Donegal County Council would need to come together to ensure that this would be enforced, and I suggested that to the road section of Donegal County Council.
And Donegal County Council and Kerry County Council have launched a joint road safety campaign as thousands prepare to travel to Dublin for the All-Ireland final this weekend. The Safe Road to Croker message focuses on the difference between a wrong move on the pitch and a wrong move on the road. Supporters are being encouraged to plan their journeys, allow extra time, stay alert, ensure all passengers are wearing seatbelts and to drive with care.
From the Kingdom of Kerry and the hills of Donegal, on the long road to Croker to witness it all. But off the pitch and on the road, it's a different game. One wrong move behind the wheel and you're to blame. Slow it down, stay off the phone. Drive with care, make it home. Wear your belt like your county's crest. Drive with pride, you know the rest. Kerry, Donegal, we're rivals, it's true. But united we stand for road safety and you.
Ordering your club gear is effortless with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the Northwest leading supplier for GAA clubs, at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 17 minutes past five. Good evening, Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Dono. Good evening. We'll start with rugby. Lions head coach Andy Farrell has named nine Irish starters in his team to face Australia in the second test in Melbourne on Saturday. Andrew Porter and Bundy Aki come in to join Tadhg Byrne, Dan Sheehan, Tadhg Furlong, Jack Conan, Jameson Gibson-Park, Hugo Keenan and James Lowe. Porter says there's plenty of room for them to improve after their opening victory last weekend.
At the MCG, incredible stadium with I suppose 90 plus thousand people there. Like, how often can you say you've done that? But yeah, we'll just be looking to go out and improve on our performance last week rather than play the occasion, really.
In Gaelic games, all roads lead to Croke Park on Sunday afternoon as Donegal aim to win their third ever All-Ireland senior football title. Tony Boyle was a winner under Brian McInniff when the county won a first All-Ireland championship in 1992. The Dunloe man expects Donegal to bring a fierce intensity to the game against Kerry.
I think the 2 week break that we got before the Meath match, you know, definitely helped to refresh, and probably Meath was by far our best performance. You know, we were very close to a 70 minute match, and that's, listen, that's what we're going to need on Sunday. And as Andy said, you know, it could be defensive. To be honest, I would hope we'd really go at Kerry from the word go. I don't know whether Kerry have come up against that pace and intensity that we have within our team. I was looking at a stat earlier on. I think between Clifford and Sean O'Shea, they've scored 65% of their total scores. They're both the two highest 2-point shooters in this year's championship. So listen, we know that they're a threat, but we've 12, 13 players on that pitch that's coming from every angle and get scores. So listen, the matchups are going to be very interesting. Obviously, you know, personally, I think Brenton McCall outside Donegal is probably one of the most underrated fullbacks in the country. You know, I think he's a phenomenal footballer. Very unlucky not to get an All-Star last year, because he marked all the top forwards. Probably if he'd get to the final, he probably would have. To me, he's odds on. And the thing I like about Brenton, he's probably not like maybe your old style fullbacks like Ronan down there or Neil McGee. You know, he just plays the forward on pure football ability, and as a forward, that's the worst thing. That's the one thing that can destroy you, because of a full back. I remember Sean Marty Lockhart back in the day, he used to be for the nip in and get their hand, and you don't mind the tussle and the variables and stuff like that, because you can deal with it. But Brenton seems to just play pure football and get his hand and knock the ball away. So listen, that's going to be a fantastic tussle on Sunday.
We will have more previews of the All-Ireland final this evening when we take the score programme on the road to Glenswally GAA Club, which is, of course, the home of 2012 winning captain Michael Murphy. Among our guests will be other 2012 winners Neil Gallagher of Glenswally and Dermot Brick Malloy of Neave Connell. In soccer, Stephen Kenny says any sort of win will do for St Pat's against Callew this evening. The Saints come into the Conference League qualifier at Richmond Park in good form, having beaten Hegelman 2-0 last week and UCC 8-0 in the Cup at the weekend. But Kenny feels they're coming up against a dangerous opponent.
They finished second in the Estonian League last year. They're full of running, technical team, you know, 3-4-2-1 model, and they have tactical flexibility within that. So the challenge is tactically, and they're energetic and have good attacking players.
Kickoff there is at 7:45. Well, Shamrock Rovers have just kicked off at 5 away to St Joseph's in their Conference League second round clash. That first leg is being played on an artificial pitch in hot conditions in Gibraltar, and Rovers have struck first through Rory Gaffney to lead 1-0. Alexander Isak has told Newcastle he wants to explore his options during the summer transfer window. The striker has been left out of their pre-season tour of Singapore, with the club saying he has a minor thigh injury. He's been the subject of transfer speculation after scoring 23 top-flight goals in the previous campaign. In golf, Padraig Harrington is 4 strokes off the lead following his first round at the Senior Open. The Dublin golfer carded 67 to sit in a tie for 5th on 3-under par. Stephen Alker is the clubhouse leader on 7-under. Leona Maguire shares a 4-way lead on day 1 of the Women's Scottish Open. The Solheim Cup star is 5-under after a round of 67. And Seamus Power is in action at the 3M Open on the PGA Tour. The Waterford man is up to 1-under through 13. The 2026 edition of golf's Irish Open could be heading to County Clare. The Irish Independent reports that talks are ongoing with the DP World Tour about the tournament being held at Donald Trump's course at Doonbeg. It is expected the Irish Open will remain in September for next season, with La Hinch also hosting the Walker Cup later that month. Finally, in boxing, the IBF welterweight title bout between Limerick's Paddy Donovan and Belfast's Lewis Crocker will take place at Windsor Park. Matchroom Boxing have confirmed that the first world title fight involving two Irish fighters will take place on Saturday, September 13th. Donovan, who is trained by former world champion Andy Lee, was disqualified when the two men met in March for a punch after the bell. Meanwhile, the WBO has ordered undisputed heavyweight champion Alexander Usyk to begin talks with mandatory challenger Joseph Parker to organise their title fight. That's all your sport for this evening. Don't forget to tune into the Score programme coming live from Glenswally after the 7 o'clock news. Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Mark. Well, it's at 22 minutes past 5 on a Thursday evening. That's time for Farming News and Views. Good evening, Chris Ashmore.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll be hearing about final arrangements for the Clonmany Agricultural Show, its monster draw, and hopes that in 2029 the World Sheep Shearing Championships could be coming to Inishowen. But first, a local councillor has called on Donegal County Council to establish a facility for the collection and disposal of spent sheep dip. Councillor Martin Scanlon brought the matter up at the July meeting of Donegal County Council, and he's been telling me more.
We've had two meetings with the Agricultural Committee within the council, and on both occasions they've highlighted the decline in water quality that we have, and they've alluded to that sheep dip is one of the main reasons for this. So with all goodwill and intention, it seems to be still making its way into our water courses.
Years ago, the council was probably more involved. So at the moment, there is an issue there, but the actual sheep dip used, it's probably not as harmful as some of the older ones.
It may not be as harmful to humans as some of the older ones, but to aquatic life, I believe it'll be actually more harmful than the previous dips that have been used. Sheep dips seems to be gotten more popular in the last few years. It's part of the sheep welfare scheme this year. It'll be my own preferred choice of prevention against fly striking and maggots.
Years ago, local authorities did provide sheep dipping baths, but these really are no longer in use, and the council doesn't have a remit or a role in that regard.
It's funny that you should mention that, because there's one of these baths constructed on my own property years ago, and the council just handed them back to us and let us do whatever we want with them, and they just seem to wash their hands of it, for a better word.
What do you see as the best way forward?
Well, I would like to see that we could have collection points or a facility that you could go around through the country and pick up spent sheep dip. If you had a bucket of paint or a drum of oil, you can bring it to the recycling yard to dispose of it, and it's something that's as hazardous and as dangerous as sheep dip. I think we should have a facility for it.
Now, many of the sheep dip baths in Donegal, they were actually decommissioned due to water pollution issues. So I take it there would be some need for some capital expenditure to bring things up to a standard that they could be used again, or will they be used again? Do you think that is a possibility?
Well, it's not so much that there has been an awful lot of good work done, you know, in improving facilities, you know, with farm grants throughout the past decade, with new shades and new farmyards. But it seems to be more prevalent, you know, in the hill farming areas, where maybe the farmer hasn't got that shade built, or he hasn't got the land that's suitable, you know, to spread it with a slurry tank. Here, the recommend is to dilute it to 3-1 and spread it on the land. But you know, by hill farming, by geography, it's not suitable for that.
Well, having brought it up at the council and having got a reply from the council, what do you see now as the next sort of step forward?
The reply didn't give me much solace. I would have been expecting something with a bit more meat in the bones, that maybe they would consider setting this up now.
So it seems to be a little bit up in the air. Is it something you'll bring back up at a future meeting of the council's agricultural SPC?
Yeah, it will be, and even I'm on the agricultural committee and the environment SPC, and I will be raising it at both these meetings. And I would just like to commend the loss agency on the good work they have done around these sheep dippers, and they've spent a lot of money putting in soak pits and that in the vicinity of these to help dilute this and contain it.
Councillor Martin Scanlon there. Well, the 56th Clonmany Agricultural Show takes place on Tuesday and Wednesday, the 4th and 5th of August, and final preparations are underway. To bring me up to date, I've been speaking with the show Joint Secretary, Gerard Noon. Gerard, many thanks for joining us. We're into the final stages now, getting all the entries in, so flat out from a committee's point of view.
That's for sure, Chris, yeah. They're coming on thick and fast at the moment, but just for anybody that's sort of running a wee bit late, we're actually, the final entries are on Saturday evening. We're closing. Now, there's just to highlight a few there. You have loads of cattle and sheep classes. You have an All-Ireland baby beef heifer there. There's 2,500 prize fund. You have an All-Ireland crossbred ewe, hoggett, There's 2,500 prize fund there. There's lots of classes for everybody across the board. You have a junior bake. That's new this year as well, Chris. You have under 12, 14, 16 categories. There's a €600 prize fund in that. Loads of classes, yeah. Mm.
And, of course, sheep shearing and wool handling will be very much to the fore.
That is indeed, yeah. That's a two busy days, starting on the Tuesday morning. You have the, and then you have the wool handling on the Tuesday, and then Tuesday evening you have the speed shear, which is always a very exciting event to watch. Wednesday as well will be a very a full packed day of shearing. You have the All Ireland shearing and the open shearing as well. So, yeah, definitely two very busy days, Chris.
And for people who have an interest in vintage vehicles, there's plenty to offer as well, and a slightly different format for it.
Yeah, that's on the Wednesday. That's new for us as well. Hopefully that there's tractors, cars and old engines of all descriptions to be assembled in the field on the Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning. There seems to be a good interest in this now.
And as always, just to make the point, this really is a family day out. There's something there no matter what age you are.
Definitely. You have a beauty marquee there, a fashion marquee. You have cookery demos. Definitely something there for everybody. There's poultry, horse and cattle, sheepdog trials. There's something there for everybody.
It certainly is farming, food and nature all brought together. A great site for it and plenty of car parking, and it'll all be signposted and plenty of stewarding as well.
Yeah, plenty of signs and stewards, loads of stewards there to help the people.
Part of the fundraising efforts, you have the monster draw, prizes worth in excess of €100,000. So just remind us of the top prizes there and when it'll take place.
Yeah, the draw is on the Wednesday afternoon at approximately about 5 o'clock. And the top prize is there. The first is a tractor or a Kodiak Jeep. And then the second prize is a quad or €10,000. And then there's cash prizes from there on.
So certainly worth getting a ticket if you haven't got one already. And looking slightly further ahead, Gerard, the Clonmany Agricultural Show, the committee down there, you have hopes of hosting the World Sheep Shearing Championship. This would be a huge event if you can get it, and it would be in 2029.
Yes, that's really, really exciting for us. It's hard to keep it there at the moment with the excitement between the show and 29. But, 29 will be a serious event. You're involving up to 30 countries. You'll be shearing up to 6,000 sheep. So that's a real spectacle, you know, of all the countries coming together.
When are we likely to get confirmation of that?
We're hoping to know by roughly the first week in March, Chris, 2026.
And that was Gerard Noon, Joint Secretary of the Clonmany Agricultural Show Committee. And a reminder that tickets for that draw cost €100 and can be purchased online at the clonmanyshow.com website. In other news, the scheme to support long-established young farmers is now open for the submission of online applications. The Department of Agriculture was allocated €5 million in the budget to provide support to this group. Online applications can be submitted until the 13th of August. The long-established young farmers, commonly referred to as forgotten farmers, is a group defined as young farmers who were under the age of 40 in 2015, had commenced in agriculture prior to 2008, did not receive young farmer installation aid, and were not eligible for young farmer supports under CAP from 2015 due to the date that they had first set up in agriculture. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Weather forecast for this Thursday evening, mostly dry with a mix of cloud and sunny spells. Toward the evening, it'll become more overcast in maximum temperatures of 18 to 20 degrees Celsius. Patchy rain with areas of mist and drizzle pushing eastwards overnight. Mild and humid tonight with lowest overnight temperatures 13 to 16. A generally cloudy start tomorrow with patchy rain and drizzle. During Friday afternoon, cloud will begin to break up with sunny spells developing. Mostly dry with lots of sunshine, top temperatures 17 to 20 degrees Celsius. Looking at the closing headlines for this Thursday, the PSNI have named the three victims of yesterday's shooting in Maguire's Bridge, County Fermanagh, as 45-year-old Vanessa White and her two children, 13-year-old Sarah Rutledge and 14-year-old James Rutledge. Police have confirmed they're treating this as a triple murder and attempted suicide. A man remains in hospital being treated for serious injuries. A delay to the introduction of a VAT rate cut for the hospitality sector is being played down by the Enterprise Minister. Peter Burke says he doesn't acknowledge reports that the Finance Minister is considering pushing back the measure to July 2026. It had been told the reduction in VAT would be in place by October. A GoFundMe page has been set up to help a local fisherman get back on his feet after his boat sank off Glengad yesterday morning. Daniel Collins and two crew members were on board when the boat began to sink yesterday morning. They managed to get onto a life raft from which they were rescued by a local fishing boat. And there's been widespread condemnation of the shooting of a young seal in Greencastle Harbour. The seal, named Zig by locals, was rescued by skipper Liam O'Brien in December and had become an attraction in the harbour. More on these stories on our website, highlandradio.com. We're back with news headlines again at 6 o'clock. In the meantime, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 24th of July. The death has taken place of Paddy McCaverty, 20 Berry Hill Road, Artigarvan, formerly of Burn Dennett, reposing at his home from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Funeral from there on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock for funeral mass in Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road, Strabane at 9:30. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. No flowers, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has occurred of Claire Whiriskey, 79, Meadowbank, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at her parents' Frank and Brady Whiriskey's home at 7 College Park, Letterkenny. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, with burial afterwards in Newleck Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Bradley O'Doherty Funeral Directors or any family member. House private, please, from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. And the death has taken place of Bridie Porter, née Conaghan, 279 Skeg Cottages, Bridge End. Bridie's remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St. Angus's Church, Burt, followed by interment in Burt Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. The funeral mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice or Medical 3 Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Charlie McLafferty Funeral Director. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.